Well, it's a pleasure to be with you on this Tuesday, April 23rd, live from the Detroit Economic Club. It's the luncheon here at the Motor City Casino, and yes, indeed, the keynote guest at the luncheon today is none other than Barbara McQuaid, the former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, professor at the University of Michigan Law School, and author. And I'm thrilled to start the show with her. Barbara, it is always a pleasure. I don't always get to see you, but I'm glad we're able to sit across from each other right now.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. It's a wonderful pleasure to be with you here today.
The timing couldn't be better, not just because you are the featured speaker here, the keynote, not just because you have I think this is a relatively brand new book, the New York Times bestseller, How Disinformation is Sabotaging America, Attack from Within, by our guest, Barbara McQuaid. But I also want to ask you, since you're a university professor, I want to start with this, and we'll spend time on the book because it's well worth spending time on. What the heck, since you're there on campus, this case, University of Michigan, what's going on our college campuses as we speak?
Well, at least at the University of Michigan, and I think at many other college campuses, in addition to the great learning that goes on there every day, we are seeing a bit of unrest. There are students on both sides of the issue of Israel and Gaza, and there are people who want to engage in peaceful protest, but there are also concerns from the university perspective of making sure everybody feels safe. And so that's a challenge. You know, that's kind of an age-old challenge of this balance, and the book talks about this to some extent, this balance between free speech on the one hand and keeping people safe on the other. And both of those are very important values in our society. You know, I think sometimes people want to choose one or the other, and we have to have both. And so we need to have limited but reasonable restrictions on speech so that we can ensure that the university can do its business. You know, I know that there's been some concern about disruptions of ceremonies and other things like that, and so the university has put in place some policies about the when and where protests may take place. And so, just as you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, I think there are efforts to make reasonable restrictions. First Amendment rights are not absolute, as long as the limits are narrowly tailored to achieve compelling governmental interests. But exactly where those lines get drawn are hard. And so I think universities all across the country are struggling to figure out exactly where that line is.
Well, having, in this case, Jewish students being told they should go home and finish out the term from their home because they don't feel safe is not the way this is supposed to work. I'm all for freedom of speech, freedom of expressing, and all of that. But when it gets to a point where they're yelling things at Jewish kids like, this is going to happen to you, you're next, or all this other hateful speech, here's what I don't understand. How can these highly educated kids, Columbia, Yale, wherever it is, U of M, how can they yell at people who, generally speaking, have nothing to do with what they're upset about? These people, they don't even know if the Jewish people they're yelling at agree with what Israel is doing. There are plenty of people in Israel that don't agree with what Netanyahu is doing. And yet they're yelling at these kids as if they're bearing arms and flying the jets and bombing and doing all the rest. They didn't do anything. So I'm not sure why they are screaming the horrific things they're screaming at these kids. I don't get that, and I certainly don't accept it.
Yeah, I don't understand either, but I think, you know, the importance of the balance is giving people a right to protest peacefully, but your right ends when it starts to hurt other people. And I think that's what we're seeing when, you know, students are being told to go home is unacceptable. And so I think universities have to take strong stands to make sure that everybody feels safe in their environment. And that's why, you know, time, place, and manner is all about the proper regulation for free speech. You can, in the right time, in the right place, and in the right manner, you can say whatever it is you want to say. But you can't be harassing students or making students feel unsafe in their own university.
You're on the university campus. You are a professor in the fabulous University of Michigan Law School. I was thrilled when I heard that way back when. There's hope that we're going to get through this in one piece?
I think great hope. You know, being around students actually is something that gives me a lot of hope. Our students are curious. They are mostly very respectful toward each other. They are idealistic, and they want to make the world a better place, and they're engaged in issues. So they give me a lot of hope, Paul, that our future is going to be in good hands.
Well, all right. I'm going to take that from you and your perspective. You're there on the campus. It is certainly completely different than when I went to school 100 years ago. We were not very involved in politics and all of these things around the world, let alone right here in the United States. Let's talk about attack from within, how disinformation is sabotaging America. Barbara McQuaid's new book, already doing very well. She's going to talk about that in the keynote to speech today. Tell me how you came up with this concept, the idea, and a little bit about the book.
Well, the idea for the book really comes from my work as a national security prosecutor and professor. I've been working in the national security space since 9/11, and I've seen the threat to our country evolve from ISIS to Al-Qaeda to ISIS to Russia and China and other things. And I now think one of the greatest threats to our national security is disinformation that is coming from within our own country. And the thesis of the book is that, you know, we have to have truth to be able to have a democracy. A democracy depends on an informed electorate. And I think that, you know, we've certainly seen lies in the past politically. We've had, you know, propaganda and spin and outright lies to us about
Mussolini and Hitler. You go all the way back.
Sure. I talk about some of the history there. But what I think makes the problem so acute right now are two things. One is the technology that allows people to send a false claim online and reach people instantly, to reach millions of people, and to do so anonymously. And I think the other thing that is happening right now is because we are so polarized, although some people are actually falling for these false claims, there are other people who actually don't care. All they care about is whether their tribe is winning, and they don't really care about what the facts are. And I think that we have to think for ourselves, even if it goes against the grain and we think it might go against our tribe, we need to choose our facts. And instead, I see both parties really demanding political purity and lining up on every issue on whether you're on the blue team or the red team. And I think to be a successful democracy, we need to choose each individual issue ourselves and decide what we think is the best course for moving our country forward. It's not just about one side winning or another.
Right, and that's what it's become. I mean, let's face it. The Democrats work to make sure the Republicans don't do well. The Republicans work to make sure the Democrats don't do well. They forget that we're sitting here in the cheap seats watching them not accomplish anything they're supposed to be accomplishing for us, their employer. And this is a problem, and people are catching on to it and I think pretty upset about it.
Yeah, and that's the point of the book, really, is to sort of dissect these tactics that have been used throughout history, because I think that if people can recognize them, identify them, name them, we can defeat them and be less likely to be manipulated by them so that we can get back to a government of, by, and for the people.
You do attack the whole concept of why America is particularly vulnerable to the disinformation you're talking about in the book, How Disinformation is Sabotaging America, Attack from Within by Barbara McQuaid. Why are we more vulnerable? Because we have free speech?
Yes, and it goes back to this very topic that we started with about free speech on campus. It's a really difficult thing to get this right, because we all treasure our First Amendment rights of free speech, whether you're on the left or the right or anywhere in between. Our ability to speak out against our government is what makes us a free society. And so we cherish that. And so as a result, I think those who want to prevent any limits on free speech or social media regulation or other things will accuse anyone of trying to impose any reasonable limits on speech as censorship. If you are telling me I can't, protest about, you know, Gaza or Israel, you are silencing me. You are censoring me. If we want to have reasonable regulations on social media to prevent the kinds of disinformation we saw from Russia in 2016, the tech companies cry out that it's censorship. Well, it's not censorship if there's a compelling governmental interest and the limitation is narrowly tailored to achieve that. And so I think we need to free ourselves from these labels like censorship and have a meaningful debate about what these things really mean.
Attack from Within, the publisher, Seven Stories Press, the author, our guest, Barbara McQuaid, who we all know and remember as former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan and currently professor at the University of Michigan Law School, keynote speaker here today at the Detroit Economic Club. And you've stayed with us, and I appreciate your time, but I think they need you right now.
Very good.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Paul.
Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
As we continue on WJR.